Program does not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of WFMD.
It's Success Happens on 930 WFMD, a discussion with leaders who share their pathways to success. Success Happens with your host, Jen Charlton.
Good morning and welcome to Success Happens. It's so great to be here with you. I am so excited about 2020. You know, for years we've talked about, what's your 2020 goal? Where do you want to be in 2020? And here we are. And so now it's an opportunity for us to say, did we get it done? What do we still need to get done that we haven't gotten done that we maybe gave up on? You know, sometimes we say, I'm too old for that, or I'm too this for that. I can't do that anymore. My life is different now. But, you know, there really are opportunities to pick up our passions and run with them. And, you know, in some cases, I've seen older folks like myself who say, you know what, I think I'm going to get back into music, or I think I'm going to get back into art. This is the time, if not now, you know, if not now, when? So if you have a passion, pick it up. 2020, we're here. So, you know, I was thinking about so much of what's going on today. And as anybody who follows me on Facebook, and you should, because I try to be balanced, but of course my views come through. But, you know, when you look at the world today, it's a crazy place. I mean, there is so much going on right now that impacts every single one of us from young to old. And I think we have really lost sight of the greater good for one's own personal gain. I think that, you know, being successful in life and wanting to achieve is a great thing, but we can't do it at the expense of others. It really just doesn't work. I mean, that has no integrity. And you guys hear me talk about integrity all the time. So, you know, we have to really find that way that we navigate through life. And as somebody who, you know, you all probably know this, that I was the president of the Commission for Women many years ago. I was proud to be a commissioner. I served two terms, and I really love the work that they do. So therefore, I'm very connected to women's issues and the things that are important to us. And I have to say that the arising that has occurred in the, I'll say an awareness of women around the world, it's sad. It's very sad what women and families go through around the world, but it also is important that we're starting to look at it. There's an awareness that's arising that's good, and it allows us to empower our sisters around the world. And so today is kind of a bittersweet, you might say, opportunity to talk to somebody who I've just gotten to know, who will give us a perspective from her cultural background. And maybe we can start to navigate how to empower women without, I'll call it, the cultural clashes that are going on as a result. So I think we'll talk more about that. But I want to invite today to the microphone is Nora Cindy. And Nora is somebody who is lovely and has come from an Iraqi background. And her family is born in Iraq. And so we're here today. But the other thing I love about you is that you have a background in beauty. And she's lovely. You should see her. She's
gorgeous.
Good
morning, everyone. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's so she's blushing. But, you know, it's so great to have you here because of your background. And, you know, having done pageants, which are now called scholarship programs, I was just corrected by a former Miss Maryland who shared with me. She said, no, we call it programs now. But, you know, being in that world and working in modeling and acting and things, beauty is so much a part of that business. But, you know, I think as women, as we go along, we have to learn to meld the inner beauty with the outer beauty. And one or the other doesn't define us. They both do, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, very good. So welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's so great. And you came up from Bethesda, so I really appreciate you being here.
Yes, I came up from Bethesda, not a problem.
Right and early. So tell me about your business in beauty. You actually started a makeup line, which I would think would be incredibly hard to do.
It definitely was. It definitely was a hard road to get there, you know, but I was quite focused on it. And I really love the beauty industry to make people feel beautiful. And they're naturally beautiful. Every woman, I think, you know, everyone their own natural beauty. But of course, makeup adds to it a lot of it. So my passion was you know, as a young child, always was into beauty, into hair, into clothing, you know, clothing as well. So I have, you know, two boys. So after they've grown a little bit, you know, now they're like age 6 and 9. So I decided to open my own cosmetic line. It was, you know, quite challenging. I had to go through a lot of people that I know already had their own makeup line, you know, and then I started my own. So it was, I started with, you know, makeup a company in Germany where they make most of the makeup lines. Who makes Chanel? Who makes Estee Lauder? So that's
in
how
Germany.
I,
no, mm-hmm. I did not know that. That's interesting.
Yeah, yeah. They do have a factory there that I started off there. And of course, I ordered some of also from, you know, New York. They have also a big company makeup line there as well. So it was, you know, actually, I was making everything from scratch. The foundation, the
wow.
lipsticks, the eyeshadows. So it was a lot of fun.
That is interesting. So you have to know some chemistry to do that.
I mean, you do, definitely. You put some ingredients together, which you're looking into it to get the, you know, the color that you need. Or you just have to, you know, how do I want to put it out there? You just have to kind of really also be into makeup to be passionate about it as well.
Yeah, and creative, mm-hmm. right? It's kind of, I think of my grandmother who used to be an oil painter.
Yeah.
And she would take different colors and then she would blend them.
Exactly.
To come up with the real color that she
That's
wanted.
That's what my son does right now with colors.
Yes, it's wonderful. So, you know, when you look at, I know for myself mm-hmm. for many years, some of the products that were out there were putting heavy oils and lanolins and things that really are clog the skin.
Clog the pores, exactly.
Yeah, and they're just not healthy for you. Has makeup come a long way in terms of the quality of it?
I mean,
it
nowadays
in general?
They have natural makeup as well, which are organic, which are oil-free, fragrance-free. So they definitely came up with, you know, where it doesn't have too much of a chemicals in it as well for, you know, clients who want to go natural.
Well, and then the question is, mm-hmm. yeah, but does it work? You know, you think of all natural
know,
is not always
I
the
know,
best.
I know,
you know,
that's
unfortunately,
so true.
It's finding
that's
that
so
blend.
True. So it all depends on a person, what they really are looking for to achieve, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah, very good.
Yeah.
So when you started your business, what was the biggest challenge you faced?
The biggest challenge I actually faced, I mean, time, you know? That was really challenging for me, you know, with the business. I didn't really have much growing up where I came from with my, you know, being from Iraq side, my parents were very controlling. The challenge I faced it was how to start the business, you know, especially not having much of education background, you know, because my parents were against education for women. I actually had arranged marriage at age 17.
Wow.
Yes. So that was really challenging for me. You know, I just had to kind of really ask friends. You know, I didn't even go to school for it, nor did I go to school to learn English. I just really picked it up by getting a job and trying to get out of my marriage. And I think that was the biggest challenge for me.
Wow.
But I guess if you really put your focus to it, whether you have education or not, you can achieve a lot of things in life.
I think, you know, I'm so appreciative that you're sharing this because I think mm-hmm. it's hard for us as American women
yes.
to really understand what it must be like for someone to say, no, this is who you will marry. I mean,
yes.
really, if my father said to me,
yes.
this is who you will marry, I'd just start laughing at him. I mean, it really would be a joke.
Exactly. It is so funny because what happened before you were even like born, they arranged it for you, you know? So as a child, I grew up, my dad would always say, your second cousin is in the U.S. That is the guy you're going to marry to. So it already was in my head that this is the guy that I'm going to marry to. They would send me pictures. They will make sure that this is what I'm going to commit to.
Love, passion, commitment.
Yes,
none of
absolutely.
That was in the
and
deal.
I looked at the guy's picture and I'm like, oh, I don't know if he's really into women, you know?
Yeah.
So it was so funny because I did want to please my parents too. I mean, I grew up with a very controlling father. I mean, we weren't even allowed to even read a book. We weren't even allowed to have friends. We were just allowed to, the only way we could even get out of the house was with him. So it was quite...
And was that when you were still in Iraq?
No, that was in Amsterdam, which is quite shocking because when you grew up in, you know, when you at that time, it's a modern country. I mean, Amsterdam, think about it. Everything is legalized. You could pretty much, you know, it's very modern, you know.
The bad stuff is legalized.
Yes,
we're just catching up to Amsterdam.
I know. So, I growing up there, seeing that part with how people live and living in a house where it's so controlling, I mean, it wasn't pleasant, you know. And as a young child, I always dreamed of freedom.
You know, Nora, one of the things that you talk about freedom and finding your freedom, one of the big cultural, I guess, iconic things is a hijab, mm-hmm. and that women are required to wear them. Were you ever required to wear one?
At one point, actually, my dad did force me to wear the hijab. I would wear it, leaving the house, and take it off as soon as I'm out.
And why did you do that?
Because that's not who I was. That's not who I wanted to be. I was forced to it.
But it was what was expected of you. So you complied.
I complied by just for him to see it because, I mean, you are young, you fear him. So you're like, okay, that's how I'm going to leave.
But what would you have done if he ever, did he ever find out you took it off?
He never find that out.
Oh, I guess the cat's out of the bag now.
Yes.
Sorry, Dad. Anyway, okay. Well, thank you for sharing that. You're welcome. I think a lot of times as American women, we try to understand that symbol and what does it mean for in the culture? Why is it required of women?
Mainly it's because of the sexuality. So men don't get attracted to you because when you have your hair down, it's more attractive towards men. So basically it's trying to prevent men looking at you.
Got that.
But that doesn't stop a lot of men.
Right. Exactly.
No.
And then the garb, the long gown. What same thing?
Same thing, just to cover up the shape of your body. So it's not noticeable to many men out there.
So really to tamp down a woman's sexuality.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons.
And here you are in the beauty business.
Yeah, look at me. I'm wearing whatever I want.
Whatever you want with your long lashes.
Yes.
And looking gorgeous. So
thank you.
All right. Well, I appreciate you sharing that insight.
Sure. You're welcome. I just wanted to be free.
Wow.
To be myself, to do what I want to do, not what my parents tells me. I mean, there were times where I just wanted fresh air. Where are you going to do it? You know, you're not even allowed to get out of the house.
So, you know, gosh, that can take us so many different directions in this conversation. When you look at Paris, I love Paris.
Yes.
Love Paris.
Oh, it's beautiful.
But Paris is, you know, France is really in losing its own culture and identity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when my mother's Swedish.
Yeah.
So I grew up in a Swedish-American household, right?
Mm-hmm.
We went to embassy events. I knew a lot of other Swedes and Scandinavians, but I wasn't limited to that. My mother certainly encouraged me to go and meet other people.
Yes.
She certainly wanted us to have a robust, diverse life. So to grow up in the antithesis of that, which would be really separating yourselves from other cultures and influences. Exactly. Is that what it was like?
Oh, I mean, it was. It definitely was. I mean, it was just, you kind of felt like, you know what? You are in jail, you know? You don't feel like you are yourself. And I was I have eight, you know, four brothers and three sisters. Out of everyone, I was the only one that was always fighting my father for the freedom for everyone, including my mom. Yeah, it was quite interesting.
You know, I think your generation... Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of a double-edged sword because you're the ones who are going to bring about a new level of freedom for individuals.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you're going to pay some price.
Oh, it was tough. It wasn't easy roads.
I bet. Well, we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Success Happens with Jen Charlton. I have with me today Nora Cindy, and we'll be right back.
Feed your sweet tooth. Check out Randy's Candies for all your favorite old-time candies you recall from your childhood. Visit any of Randy Bartlett's old-time candy stores at the Hancock Antique Mall, Rocky Ridge Collectibles, Emmitsburg Antique Mall,
the Berkeley Springs Flea Market in downtown Berkeley Springs, West Virginia,
Saturday Fairgrounds Farmers Market, or you can go to www.randyscandies.com to special order your old-time favorites. That's www.randyscandies.com.
Woofin' It. Whether you are at work or at play, Woofin' It is available to care for your pet at your home. If you can't get home during the day or headed out to an after-hours event,
Woof, and it gives you peace of mind knowing that your fur baby is being walked, fed, and snuggled. Woofing It, Pet Concierge, the best part of their day while you're away. For information, call Joanna at 301-639-2299 or visit woofinitdogwalking.com. Woofing It, the best part of their day while you're away.
In America again.
The Talk of Mid-Maryland, 930 WFMD.
Welcome back to Success Happens. This is Jennifer Charlton. I have with me today Nora Cindy, who is the owner of Nora Cosmetics. And, you know, as we're talking about being a business owner, look, it's hard, regardless of who you are. Add on some of these cultural complications. Mm-hmm. I think it really gets tough. Now, I will say that there are women who may be American born,
yeah,
who have similar experiences of feeling afraid to go out on their own. They don't have the tools they need. Maybe mm-hmm. they need more guidance. Maybe they need mentoring. So I think we can experience that similarly, regardless of where we're from, right?
That's so true.
Yeah, because opening a business is not for the faint of heart. It takes something. It really does.
It really does. And I think what else I wasn't afraid of, you know, to take chances. I think even if you fail, it's experience. It's experience learning on how to, you know, keep a successful business. Of course, it took me a while. I went through many salons where they were carrying my makeup line, and it would be some of them were successful and some of them were not.
So, and now you're on Amazon.
Exactly.
How cool is that?
Now, it is amazing.
You know, when you talk to other women who are from the Middle East, we were talking about this before we did the show, you know, for me, it occurs like, as an outsider, that women from Iran or women from Iraq or some of the other Syria, Pakistan, wherever, may have similar constraints that you've had
mm-hmm.
because of those cultural mores.
Exactly.
So do you talk about it with other women from the Middle East?
I do have a few Middle Eastern friends, women, as we speak, even in the United States, and many of them are afraid to take chances, are afraid of being out there. And believe it or not, as we leave 2020, there's still women who are limited to do a lot of things in life, where there is cultural thing involved as well. Parents don't want a bad reputation. They think like if women are out there building a life for themselves or even communicating with men, it's a shame for the family.
Yeah, what a shame for them. And, you know, years ago, I had the opportunity to meet a woman by the name of Dr. Gupta,
mm-hmm.
and she ran an organization called, boy, it's going to escape me at the moment, but essentially it was about empowering women in India. And what they International Center for Research mm-hmm. on Women, ICRW, what they did is they looked at the economic impact of restricting the rights of women,
mm-hmm.
of not allowing women to work, not allowing women to drive, not allowing women to educate. And so when they looked at that mm-hmm. and they saw the cost of it in dollars and cents or whatever the equivalent is in India, they started to affect change in policy because mm-hmm. they realized it was costing India a lot of money. Because women generate, you know, economic power. So any thoughts about that?
I think, you know, women are very powerful. You know, they do have more strength than they think, you know. I mean, especially from how I was raised and the way I stepped out of living a way that I didn't want to live or was forced to live. For the fact that I took a step out to be myself, to do things that I want to do, whatever it might be, business or just my own freedom, really made me feel so light. I think if women, you know, start fighting for their rights, choosing, you know, what they want to be, especially in the Middle East, I guess it's hard in the Middle East because you do have, you know, way more control over them than in the U.S. or in Amsterdam.
Well, and I think about the conflicts that we're facing right now as a planet.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at ISIS and you look at some of these other things that are out there that are doing evil, mm-hmm. you know, I wonder if some of it comes from the fact that they can't, there are women in their cultures who are saying, wait, mm-hmm. we want that.
Yes.
We want that freedom. We want that education. We want the ability to drive our kids to school.
Absolutely.
And they're really conflicted, I think, in these cultures because, and I think the reaction may be, you know, wait, we can't control our women and it's the Western's fault. And so we're the bad guys because we've pointed to something that says, wait, women can be equal.
Absolutely. And I do think they deserve to be equal, treated equally as well. But based on fear, because there's a lot of threats as well, where it comes from the family members, could be parents, you know, where they feel hopeless and they don't have much opportunities to step up and to choose how they want to live their life.
Yeah, it's shocking because I think about myself, you know, boy, I've had so many opportunities, sometimes too many. Maybe
yes,
it'd be better to be a little more focused.
Mm-hmm.
But I pray that women will find a way to join together. You know, there are different international organizations, but I think until the men accept it.
I agree. And it's very tough. I mean, especially in Middle East, men have this fear towards women. And I believe maybe it's a possibility that they know that women are very strong. And they really are. I mean,
well, there's been a lot, and I was looking for it on my Facebook post mm-hmm. that, you know, there, so people can check me out on Facebook, but there's, I posted something about Iranian women who had been killed.
Yes.
So there is, this is real danger. It's not just
dangerous.
A cultural difference. There are people who are dying for this.
Absolutely, especially with honor killing. I mean, that's something, it's just, I can't even believe that it's happening. You know,
and it's real.
I don't feel like it's reality until I see it. I just don't, you know, I can't imagine. I mean, it's happening. Yeah, definitely.
From your perspective, share with our listeners about what honor killing is.
Honor killing is basically family's reputation. They don't want to have a bad name. If a girl is a woman, it's even talking to another man, you know, that's pretty much down to, you know, family's shame. So they look at it more of a shame. They don't value women that much, you know, and it happens many times, especially in Amsterdam, believe it or not. There was this girl, you know, a story I'm going to just tell what
sure.
happened. The girl, you know, was this guy randomly calls this guy up and is like, hey, I see your daughter on the beach. You know, she's with a guy and she's not supposed to be here with a guy. If you don't do anything about it, I will ruin your reputation.
Wow.
So automatically the guy takes his daughter back home and kills her. Months later, the guy calls him back again. He's like, hey, your daughter is still here. I thought you said you will, you know, do something about it and I won't ruin your reputation. The father freezes. He's like, I just killed my daughter. So basically, it wasn't even his daughter. I mean, it was just insane, you know? It was crazy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Moroccan background. So he killed his daughter because she was not the woman that they thought was on the beach. He mistook.
Oh, he took the guy's word. That's how bad
crazy.
They take this honor killing. Like, it doesn't matter if your daughter hasn't even done anything. Sometimes it's just the words that they hear from others and they will take it very seriously. And it happens even with so many innocent women back home in the Middle East, especially even Saudi Arabia. It happens, you know, and it happens in many, many other countries, Afghanistan. Just quite sad. I mean, just really, really not acceptable. And I just, you know, I just wish there was some kind of help for those women.
Well, I think the only way is that the men get help. Because how would a woman in that environment, unless she's able to get away, you know, essentially run away.
Run away where? When you're
where
in Middle
do you
East,
go?
You know, they don't support women that much. It's women's right anyway. So you really have nowhere to go. And if you get caught, whether your story is true or not.
When we come back, we're going to talk more with Nora about some of these amazing issues that are facing women around the world. You're listening to Success Happens on Free Talk 930 WFMD.
930 WFMD, Roy Rogers. Past editions of this program are available in the audio vault at WFMD.com.
Welcome back. This is Jennifer Charlton, and we are having an amazing conversation today with Nora Cindy. And Nora is an Iraqi woman who was raised, for the most part, in Amsterdam, born in Iraq and raised in Amsterdam, and has become quite an entrepreneur and a woman who is free. And it's a great feeling, isn't it?
Oh, it's amazing. Best thing I've did for myself.
So, and it was hard to step out against the family.
It was very, very hard, of course.
Did you lose connection with family members as a result?
So what happened after my arranged marriage, I was, of course, turning 18, 17. I got married in Islam and turning 18 in the U.S. After 4 years of being in that marriage, which we were married, but he was doing his own thing, I was doing my own thing. And luckily for me, he was the best guy ever. He was so sweet, so kind. He didn't force me into anything. So I pretty much had my freedom with him, but we got in my parents' pressure of having children. And at one point I called my dad up. I was like, you know what? This is not working out. And I was still fearful to be on my own, but I told my dad, after all that control, I was willing to still go back. My father was like, over my dead body, you will return back. So I decided after it took me another 6 months, I packed everything and I left.
And you did not have children with
him? I did not have children with him. No. And I walked away from that marriage. I was independent.
And then he was also... Was he also okay with it?
He was perfectly fine with it.
He knew you guys weren't in love.
Exactly. He was 19. I was 18. So what do we know about marriage? It was pretty traumatizing for me, actually, the first night of our wedding. I was really shocked to see certain things that I've never seen in my life, you know? So I walked away from the marriage. I didn't speak to my family for more than 4 or 5 years. I was independent. I became cosmetic manager. So I really kind of built myself up, with my business.
But you had to disconnect or distance yourself.
I had to disconnect myself from my family because they were actually making threats as well. So
what kinds of threats are you willing to share?
I mean, he basically was saying that, you know, you shamed our family, you know, death threats, let me put it that way. Yeah. And I wasn't really afraid of that. I said, you know what?
Well, you were here. So that must have made you feel better.
It definitely made me feel much better that I'm here, they're there, they won't even know where I live. But the year through passed by, I met my current ex with the father of my kids, we have 2 children with, and I attract him because he has similarity as my father, quite controlling. And
yeah, as women, all women, we all do that.
We all do that. And
we have that in common.
And I thought I could change him. You know, right. We do women sometimes think we can change men, but he's already made. This is the way he is. He's not going to change. After 2 kids, we had our second child. My son was 3 months old when I left him. So... it happens.
It does happen.
And it does.
I think, you know, when you go back to what we were talking about, honor killings and threats and Sharia law, that's all Sharia law. And we talk about that. And, you know, I think back, you know, to my earlier comment about Paris, they have no-go zones now where basically things are run the way it's like a little sub-government within the culture of France. And this is not good for France. It's not good for France.
It's not.
You know, people aren't assimilating into
the French culture. Absolutely.
And I tell you, I won't go back to Paris right now.
Yes,
it's just not a safe place.
I agree.
But, you know, we're starting to see some of that here in U.S. There are pockets of it where... That culture is starting to define the way things are done outside of perhaps what's accepted by our laws, our government, whatnot. And so, you know, it is shocking. And we have to guard against that because we are one nation.
I agree.
With one constitution. And people like my mother and you and others who come here and have children like me, you know, we're all in this soup together. And I think we really have to honor the nation. And so I have a real concern about that. But, you know, this Sharia law thing,
How is it work? I mean, when you look at your culture and you see you're now here in U.S., it must be kind of shocking to look back on the way it was handled. Can you kind of help us understand it?
I don't, with the way I grew up with my parents, I don't know much of Sharia law, but I'm definitely not a fan of it either. I've heard a lot about it. Some of it has even not, with my parents, it had nothing to do with religion. My dad wasn't even praying. He would pray only when someone is coming over. But with him, what mattered the most was his reputation. He would do anything to avoid his reputation. You know what I mean? He didn't want any shame in the family. We weren't even allowed to speak to any guys. And if he did see it, he would make a lot of threats. And he, and I think with many people in Middle East, it has nothing to do maybe with religion. It's more of an honor. They don't want to have a shame. But of course, some other extreme, you know, Muslim Sharia law do follow the book and do go by that book. You know?
And they're the ones who are committing some of these atrocities.
And those are the ones committing exactly some horrifying crimes against young women, I guess even, you know, mature
women
and their wives.
If someone's gay, that's also not accepted?
Gay is definitely not accepted at all in Islam. Not at all, especially in Middle East, you know, countries, many of them can face death.
Yeah, it's shocking. And I think... you know, do you have any thoughts about how to go about, you know, we were talking about offline, you know, this idea of healing, you know, because if somebody's worried about their reputation,
yes.
It's not about religion.
Yes.
It's not about religion. It's about their reputation. To me, that's something that could be transformed.
Of course.
Somebody could be secure enough to say, you know what you do doesn't impact me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're on your own. Messing up your own reputation.
Yeah.
You're not, it's not going to get on me over here.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, to transform it from it being kind of couched inside of Islam and couched inside of the Muslim culture and and that sort of thing and have it really be, no, guys, you worrying about your reputation is you being insecure about your reputation.
Correct.
Don't have it be about the woman. Do you have any thoughts about how we go about even
Healing process,
that.
You mean?
Yeah.
I think what got me okay, not feeling so guilty, is for a fact that I choose the right thing for myself. I choose my freedom. I choose to be who I want to be. And that was the greatest feeling ever. And I know my parents, especially my dad, the way he was raised, I have sympathy for him. And I feel like the way
he only knows what he was taught.
Exactly. And I think the only thing he lost from me was love and to be loved. And other than that, I don't really, you know, I don't blame him. I don't feel like hate towards him. I just feel sorry for him. I feel like, you know, he could have lived the life that I am living right now. And the way I feel, it's amazing. I mean,
and perhaps at some level he's jealous for that.
I don't see that part, but as we speak now, believe it or not, I think I have have woken him up. His eyes are more awake. Like, he sees what I went through to get where I want to be. And he's actually really, really proud of me. I mean, last time conversation I had with him, he said, "You are so brave. I don't even know how you did that."
Wow.
That was amazing to hear that from him. And that made me feel amazing. I said, okay, I did the right thing for myself.
And probably for him, he didn't even know it.
He didn't even know it.
That's inspiring right there.
That is very inspiring. And that healed me through no matter whatever the childhood I went through. That was the biggest healer ever to just hear my dad saying that.
Well, I want to give our listeners an opportunity to text on our text line, if you like, 301-694-9363. Text or call with a question or comment for Nora. You know, I think that we are, how do I say this? It's very moving to me to be a part of trying to help empower women around the world in a conversation that would otherwise be futile.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're in that situation, I can only imagine that, you know, how desperate one feels. And it's kind of like we were talking about this idea of controlling men, that, you know, love is not controlling.
Love is kind. Love is peace. Love is how I treat my kids today, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
And you know, when we think about domestic violence, which is a big problem here in U.S.
It really is.
When we think about human trafficking, which is something that I cover quite a bit, these are all controlling things. They come from a dark place.
Yes.
And, you know, if we want to get along as nations and as peoples, we have to be willing to honor the other and their mm-hmm. wishes and that freedom that they want. And
absolutely.
So I just think you're inspiring, and I think your story is amazing. I want to give people an opportunity to learn a little bit more about your business, because we
sure.
kind of delved into this other piece, but it's so integral to you becoming a businesswoman was finding your freedom to do it.
Absolutely.
Right?
That took
so,
the freedom. Yeah.
And there are women out there who are listening or saying, you know what? I wish I had the courage to do what she did. So what are some tips, if you will, that you have for women who might be interested in starting their own business? They might have a passion or something they're really good at, but they're not sure if it's a business. Well, how do they go about it?
I mean, the way I went about it was like just being fearless, not being afraid of failures. Because I think main reasons why it took me a while to even start my business, I was like, I was scared that I might fail. I was scared that the products might not be the great products for everyone. So just give it a try. Take a chance.
And
go
learn
for it.
As you go.
Learn as you go. I mean, I came from no education background, and look how I, you know, and I'm doing my own business. Yeah. I think just being fearless, just go for it. Take a chance.
I love it.
Nothing's going to happen.
I think, and you know, and you kind of...
You learn also from failures, of course. I learned a lot from it.
Right. I mean, if you don't, what is the saying? If you don't fail, you haven't tried.
Absolutely.
You know, you got to fail
to
succeed.
You can also go for it, start working from home. That's what I did first, too. I start slowly, just on my own schedule, my own, you know, just get out there. Get to know people, have connections.
Well, and you be a master at what you do. I mean, clearly you had worked in the industry. You knew a lot about the products out there. You had that knowledge and experience, and you just parlayed it into a business. No, tell us, why is Nora Cosmetics different from Estee Lauder, L'Oreal, Maybelline?
Most of the products are oil-free, fragrance-free, paraben-free, and the difference is we make it also from scratch, you know? So basically, if you have a lipstick that's been discontinued from a different makeup line or foundation, you can come up to me and I'll get you exactly the same color or similar to the product that you love but you no longer have. They no longer carry it, I mean.
Very interesting. Mm-hmm. And when people, can they buy it, you said through Amazon, so obviously they can't mix those colors through Amazon.
No,
so
it has to be done in person.
Yeah, got that.
It has to be done in person.
Do you sell products over the counter and so forth?
I actually used to carry it at a few other salons, but I kind of stepped that down a little bit just because my kids are too young. I kind of like also want to balance my life because I do value time with my kids as well. So I do it from home with a color custom blending. Yeah.
That's great. Well, we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Success Happens. My guest today is Nora Cindy, and we'll be right back.
Sweet tooth. Check out Randy's Candies for all your favorite old-time candies you recall from your childhood. Visit any of Randy Bartlett's old-time candy stores at the Hancock Antique Mall, Rocky Ridge Collectibles, Emmitsburg Antique Mall,
the Berkeley Springs Flea Market in downtown Berkeley Springs, West Virginia,
Saturday Fairgrounds Farmers Market, or you can go to www.randyscandies.com to special order your old-time favorites. That's www.randyscandies.com.
Woofin' It. Whether you are at work or at play, Woofin' It is available to care for your pet at your home. If you can't get home during the day or headed out to an after-hours event, Woofin' It gives you peace of mind knowing that your fur baby is being walked, fed, and snuggled. Woofin' It. Pet concierge, the best part of their day while you're away. For information, call Joanna at 301-639-2299 or visit woofinitdogwalking.com. Woofin' It. The best part of their day while you're away.
It's all about your car. Call in with questions to Dave Serio beginning in less than 30 minutes right here on 930 WFMD.
Welcome back to Success Happens. I have with me today an entrepreneur, Nora Cindy, and we've been talking about what it's been like to start her business and to work in the beauty industry. And you were, you know, one of the things that's the newest rage are these lashes. And of course, I have no lashes, so I probably could really use your services.
Yeah, sure.
So tell us about why has that become such a thing?
I mean, it makes such a difference. As soon as you see these lashes, you were like, wow, it looks amazing.
Opens the eyes up.
It really opens up the eyes up. I mean, I have some clients, they feel like they feel 10 years younger. It's amazing. It's really in it right now. Everyone wants lashes.
And there's lots of different kinds, right? I mean,
we do. We have different kinds. We have the mink one, and we also have so different length as well, different volume. Depends really what you're looking for. If you want something more natural, you know, we do also the size of the lashes as well. They're thicker sizes. They're thinner ones. They're depending on your natural lashes as well. So if you have fine lashes, we typically recommend to go really natural with it because you don't want them to fall off.
Now, are these permanent or are they?
It really lasts up to 2 to 3 weeks, and you need refill every 2-3 weeks. It depends also how you take care of them. Aftercare is really, really important. You need the lash serum. We have all kinds of protective coating to help to keep the lash extension stay on longer as well. So there's a lot of ways that you can take care of them. It's really like a baby. You got to take care of them really well.
Now, where do people find these lashes?
They can actually find it at Eternal Lash and Brow in Rockville, on Rockville Pike.
Okay, Eternal Lash and Brow. Okay, so what about the brows? Tell us about what
microblading.
Goes on up there.
I don't do microblading, but we do have someone at the salon that does microblading. Her name is Lucy, and she does an amazing job.
And what is that?
It's permanent. It's not really permanent, but it's like an ink. It's not a tattoo. They ink into your lashes. They add brow strokes on your natural brows. So they give you the shape. So if let's say if you don't have any eyebrows, you know, you'd be perfect candidate for it.
Very interesting.
And that lasts you for 2 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that makes getting up and out easy.
Yes, it does. And, you know. It really does.
Okay, so when we look at your cosmetic line, I want to give people an opportunity to connect with you. How will they find you?
Find me by my email because I do it in person. Yeah,
I give them your email so they can find you.
Sure.
KadryaSin is in Nancy, D-I, that's Kadrya, Cindy, at Outlook.com.
Correct. Yeah.
KadryaSin. Sindi. And they can also find you on Facebook.
They can.
And there you go by Nora.
Nora Cindy.
Yeah, very good. And just out of curiosity, why did you change your name to Nora?
Why did I change? You know, my dad and my mom were actually kind of, you know, arguing about the name. My mom wanted Nora and my dad wanted Kadrya because of his family members. But legally end up being Kadrya, but my mom called me Nora since I was young, so I prefer Nora.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
It's lovely. So when people want to, so they can email you to book an appointment or go on Facebook and ask for your services.
Correct.
And about how long is a session when they meet with you? How long do you spend with them to kind of look at the color and style and products?
So it really depends what they are really looking for, you know? Typically goes by about an hour, hour and a half. The most, yeah. If you're looking for more of a natural look, which is a quite, you know, faster way of just getting the right look for them. But if you're looking for more of a dramatic look, you want, you know, more colors. It really depends on individual person what they're looking for.
And perhaps the event or if it's, is it for during the day or is it for
evening?
Is
it for evening,
right.
Yeah.
Right,
it takes
right.
about an hour, hour and a half because you mix it, you blend it.
Now, can they hire you to be a makeup artist for them for an event?
I do that as well. The times that I don't have my children, I do weddings, I do all kinds of events.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very good. Very good. Well, there's some people listening who may wish to hire you just to help them with their upcoming events. And sometimes I have a very good friend of mine who's an event planner. We'll have him on some point in Baltimore who would be a good connect for you. Well, so when we wrap up, you know, here, because we just have a few more minutes. What else would you say is the next thing for Nora? Where do you want to go with your career next? The one thing I would say to you is, and I so appreciate having young ones because it really is important to give them our attention. And if you could have it all.
Yes.
Your young ones and your career and your business and whatnot. What would be next?
My next step will be to open my own studio. Probably. I'm just waiting because my kids are number one, you know, and I also want to parent, be a good parent to them as well. So I kind of balance my life out. That's why I have just my makeup line on the side. But I think as they grow, my goal would be to open my own salon.
Well, and in Bethesda could be a terrific, you know, market.
Yeah,
you know, Bethesda, Chevy Chase, that whole area there. You have quite a few
Pike and Rose area is also really beautiful.
Very nice, very nice. So, well, I wish you well with that.
And
I think that, you know, as you grow along and you create your own little website and, you start to build that, as they say, build it and, and it will come. So, lastly, is there any organization that you support or involved with that you're passionate about? And I'm thinking of I have a friend of mine who's Iranian who's listening, to your interview here. What do you have to say to women of the Middle East who may be struggling with finding their freedom?
What do I have to say? I mean, I feel for them. I have sympathy for them. I just wish there was a way that they could find their freedom. I wish that there was some kind of support out there for them that they could feel how I feel right now. You know, I wish there was some kind of help for them. I feel, I mean, I there's no words, you know, to describe how I feel, especially if you feel so powerless, where you have no freedom to even choose how you want to live your life.
And, you know, one of the things that I'm struck by when I meet, particularly I've known quite a few Iranian women, and they're, you know, Middle Eastern women are very elegant. There's a grace. And I get that, right? Mm-hmm. Like the way you carry yourselves, and there's that humility and that... Yeah. That
pride.
Pride, very much so. But also smart. I mean, I've known some who are engineers.
Yes.
So it's a shame to rob
the
world of the talents and abilities of women from the Middle East just because someone's afraid to damage their reputation.
I agree. I wish there was some kind of more support for them out there, that they would take chances that I did.
So we don't know of any support groups at this point for women of the Middle East who may wish to out and get their freedom.
Yeah. I'm sure there are people working on it, but it's just not enough.
Yeah, we should look into that. Maybe that's an opportunity
for you. That would be an amazing opportunity.
Yeah, for you to do some public speaking.
I would love that.
And reach out to women and let them know it's not going to kill you. It's going to make you stronger.
It's going to make you stronger. If anything, I believe your family will be inspired by that, regardless of how close-minded they are. I mean, it happened to my dad, so I feel like it can happen to them too.
You got to weather the storm, right? It's not going to be easy.
It's not going to be easy.
Challenges.
Yeah, nothing comes easy.
But I would say, even as an American woman, I would say now Swedes are very different. You know, Swedish Scandinavian women are the opposite. We're bold. We're we don't hold anything back. We can Bob is shaking his head. Yeah, you know, we just say it. Mm-hmm. And so I come from a kind of a different perspective, but you know, I think that as women, as we empower one another, we have so much to give each other. We really need to bring women together. So my hope is that we'll find a group or perhaps start one where women can start sharing our cultural views in a way that empowers us and, frankly, helps the others around us.
It does benefit them as well. Yeah,
like our family members who are struggling with maybe understanding what we're feeling. Mm-hmm. We want our freedom. We want our education. We want to be able to be our best.
Of course.
And reach our passions. So I thank you so much for being here with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. And again, if anybody's interested in meeting with Nora and having her do your makeup or advise you on your makeup, you can book an appointment with her at KAD, as in David, RYA, Sindi at Outlook.com. That's Kadria Cindy at Outlook.com, or find her on Facebook at Nora Cindy. And it has been great to have you. Thank you so much for your courage and your insights. And may you inspire many.
I hope so. Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
God bless you.
Thank you. You too.
Everyone, have a great week. We'll listen again next Saturday morning at 9 a.m. when I have Roger Wilson with me. Have a great week.